This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message entitled Finding God's Plan for Me was delivered January 6th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Today, amen. Thank you, John. Give him a round of applause. Wow. We have such great talent in this church. Man, I love the words to that song. Kind of remind me of me because I was so far down and I am a miracle because of him. And, you know, God saved you not to just let you kind of wander around, but he gives you a destiny. He didn't save you just to save you, but he saved you because he has a plan for you. Amen? Well, hey, it's 2019. Hey, ushers, make sure you check the checks there so that nobody's still living in last year. Because if you're living in last year, man, you got to get on it and get into 2019. Amen? You guys thinking like, what did I write on my check? What? Did I write 2018? Did you? Yeah. Oh, it's a brand new year. Exciting, yeah? Oh, it's going to be an exciting year. You know what? I got to tell you this, okay? I have two girls getting married this year. Woo! Yeah! So, I am excited. I'm happy. It's great. And this year, we're going to ask you to do a few things. You know, as I've been praying over the last quarter of the year and asking God, what do you want for us in 2019? What shall we do? What is the emphasis? And the word disciple kept coming up. Disciple, followers, learners, you know, following Christ. And that's what we want to do this year. We want to not just make disciples, but we want to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Amen? So instead of just me discipling one guy, you know, I'll disciple somebody, they will disciple somebody, and so on. And so we'll get more training in and more maturity in. And one thing I'm going to ask, I want you guys to start bringing your Bibles. How many of you guys have a Bible? Not an app, not an iPad, but an actual Bible that you can turn the page. How many of you have one? How many of you need one? One, anybody? Two? Okay, because we do have Bibles if you want. If you want a free one, we have free ones. If you want a really good, expensive study one, we have those too. So let us know. I want you to get used to it. If I told you to turn to the book of Romans, would you know where to look other than just typing it in on your app? Could you just open your Bible and boom, and you're right there? Or you'll be looking in the Old Testament for Romans? Well, there might be some Romans in Old Testament, but the book of Romans, you know, would you know where it is? How many of you know where Romans is? Hey, great. So I want you to get in the habit of bringing your Bible so we can turn to certain books and we get used to turning to these pages. I know, I'm old school. This year, I told myself I'm going to go back to old school in writing my journaling, my devotions in a book. Because the Jeremiah 32 says, write the words which I have spoken to you in a book. Maybe because back then they never had an iPad, right? So, but I'm actually going back to writing down things in a book. I think for me it's more helpful. Even sometimes if I cannot read my writing, I'm still going to write it in a book. But I want you to bring your Bible so you can write notes in your Bibles, highlight scriptures, because I want us to get into the Word. So, can we do that? Yes? Okay, so next week I'm going to see how many of you brought your Bibles. Okay. So, this week and next week, we're going to be talking about God's plan. And I got to let you know, he does have a plan for you. Even if you might not know it or you're not sure of it, he does have a specific plan for you. You know, back in the day, back in 1981, whew, that was a long time ago, man. When I went to college, yeah, I did actually try, okay? So I did try. I didn't know what I wanted to major in. I was just going. I think because my parents told me that you're going to college. Even though they didn't pay it for me, I had to pay it myself. But so it wasn't so bad when I flunked because it was my money I was wasting. And they couldn't give me lickings anymore because they couldn't say, you're wasting my money, you're wasting your own money. But I went and I had no clue what I wanted to do, none whatsoever, you know. I thought going to college was going to the lunch wagon every day and eating some good food and taking a nap in the student lounge and then going home. That was my day. That's what I did. And so I went, and I went, and I went, and I went. I don't know how many semesters I went, but I ended up stopped going because I was just wasting time because I wasn't passing any of my classes. And I realized that you cannot pass your class if you don't go to your class, if you don't know what to do. So that's why I had no focus, right? I had no focus, and I was all over the place, no direction, so I didn't know what to do, where to go, what classes to take, and I wasted that whole experience. So from high school until the age I was 37, I felt like my life didn't have no purpose, no direction. I went where I went. Pretty much where the wind blew, I went because I didn't know what I wanted to do, where to go. So I guess you could say maybe I was like the Old Testament, you know, when they was wandering around in the wilderness year after year after year. I would wander around bar after bar after bar and no direction until I was like 37. At least I can say I beat the Israelites by 3 years. Oh. Yeah, and if you're over 40 and you still know more directions, you better get on it, man. So it wasn't until like the beginning of this century that I started to ask God, you know, okay, I'm coming to church. You gotta have something for me to do. And I didn't realize that this is what he wanted me to do. So I started asking, what am I here for? What is my purpose in life? So I would one day I was like, I needed to know for myself, what is it you want me to do, God? Because I really want to know what to do so I know what direction to go and what path to take. So I just went on a walk one day. I just started to walk. And not like Forrest Gump, okay? Sorry, not like, just walk and ask God, okay, God, what is it? So I was walking and praying and talking with God and listening. And it was quite a long walk. Well, not a long walk, but probably just in circles, but a long time. And this is what God gave me for my life. Yeah? He told me to steward his gifts well. Yeah? According to 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each of one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he told me to steward his gifts well, meaning like, yeah, my wife is a gift because I don't deserve something like that, a beautiful person like that who's so patient and who's loving. And he told me, you better take care of her. So I try my best. I fail at sometimes, and people remind me that I treat my wife wrong or I talk to her rudely on the phone, and I have work to do. And that stewarding his gifts, meaning I got to take care of my house, take care of my car, everything that he gives me. I think everything that he has given me is a gift, so I need to take care of it. Okay, so steward God's gift well, reach the lost, because I still got to do that. And according to Matthew 28, 19, and 20, which is the Great Commission. And then to equip the saved, because not only do I got to reach people, but God gave me a purpose to equip people so that they can do the same, according to Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, for the building up of the body of Christ. And the last part of it, and to grow in the knowledge of Christ. So steward God's gift well, reach the lost, equip the saved, and grow in the knowledge of Christ. Because throughout my lifetime, I need to be a learner. I got to keep learning, and I got to keep growing. Because if I don't, I stop, I become stagnant, and then it's all over. According to 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. So as I was walking, this is the purpose that God gave me for my life. And I don't know if you ever had a conversation with God and asked him, what is my purpose? But if you don't, I suggest you do. Because knowing what you are here for is going to help you accomplish what you're here for. Amen? So this week and next week, we're going to look at God's plans for us, how we find it, how we discover it, and then we're going to learn how to do it. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, or for today, if you have your Bible app, turn to the book of Romans. Where is Romans? Yes, the New Testament. You get a prize. Romans. Okay. So part of God's plan, and this is like today is like the basic. What is written in the Bible that we can clearly understand is God's plan for all of us. Okay? Number one for God's plan is to read, understand, and apply his letter to you, to your life. That this is his letter to you. Okay? You got to read it. Not only read it, because how many of you can read stuff like me. I can read stuff, and 2 minutes later, say, what did I just read? You get like that. Sometimes I may be reading stuff, and I'm reading, and I'm reading, and I'm reading. But my mind is, I'm on the edge of the cliff, going, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is... And then after I finish reading a page, like, what did I just read? I have no clue. So part of it is to read. And then when we can understand, because if we understand it, and how easy it is to apply. Because if we read, we don't understand, we're not going to know what to do. One time I was doing a recipe. It says, scald the milk. It's like, what is that? I didn't understand, so I don't know what to do. I had to go look it up and figure it out. But so it took me some time to read, to understand, so that I could apply. I was making bread, and I don't hardly make bread anymore because it's so hard. It takes so long, and if it's cold, it doesn't rise. But read, understand, and apply his letter to you. Romans 15:4. So if you have your Bible, Romans chapter 15, let's see how anybody can turn there real fast. If you can turn there real fast, raise your hand. I'll give you a prize. You there? No, you're not there. Somebody. Romans 15. Come on, I beat all you guys. Not supposed to be. Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Okay? Paul was writing to the Romans, and he was writing that a significant principle concerning the purpose of his ministry of the scriptures was that everything that was written back in the Old Testament was written to teach us for our instruction. The scriptures, which we read now, because I believe back in when we were in Romans, they didn't have the New Testament written yet. They only had the Old Testament. So there was written to encourage so that these people might have hope. As followers of Christ, we learn from the past, and we are motivated to be comforted in the present and looking ahead to hope to the future. You know, Frank was sharing his devotions, and I was doing my devotions, I think, on Thursday with a group of guys. Or was it? Might have been Friday. And God really spoke to me, man. Oh, I felt so convicted. And I was reading when we're reading in Genesis and Luke. So we was reading when God was going to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot was leaving, right? They kind of like had to push him out because get out of here. And he had kind of like, I got to grab this, I got to grab that. But no, going off. So the angel kind of took him by the hand and started leading him out. And as he was going away, the Bible says his wife was behind him. And then she turned around and became a pillar of salt. And I was thinking, like, wow, how come she wasn't on the side of him? Then it brought me, like, oh, how many times when I am walking, my wife is behind me. The only time she's in front of me is at Macy's and at Disneyland. It's the only time she's in front of me. Serious. But rest of the other time, she's, you know, la, 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 behind me. It's like, come on, honey. So after I did that Saturday, we was going around. It's like, come on, honey. Come on, honey. You got to stay on the side of me before you turn into salt. And God told me, Scott, you either slow down and grab your wife, or you tell her, hurry up. I told her, hurry up. That's wrong. I'm supposed to slow down. And it was like, it was for me, it was like, wow. Okay, Lord, I get it. She needs to be by my side, not back there. And if she's back there, then I got to stop and go back and get her, not stop and say, hey, hurry up. You know? I guess the only time I don't have to do that is when we're going to Macy's, because when we're going to Macy's, before I can stop the car, the seatbelt is off, the door is open. But when it's Home Depot, I halfway through the store, she's still getting out of the car. Yeah. So I promise, you know, if you can read, like, see, I read that and I understood it. Now I'm trying to apply it and I'm trying to make sure that my wife is by my side, not just physically when I'm walking, but spiritually, in her reading and her maturity, you know, help her in any way I can to grow and mature. As we grow older, we mature, we grow in the knowledge of Christ, and we walk with the Lord together. Yeah. And I promise, if you can read and understand and apply what is written in the Word, you will not be disappointed. God has many things for you in the Bible, and you're going to tell yourself this, man, I wish I started doing this sooner. The Word of God will transform your life from the inside out if you allow it to, if you have a willing heart. My life is living proof of that, because I was once like the worst person you could know, but God changed me from the inside out by reading His Word, understanding His Word, and applying it to my life. Part of God's plan for you, number two, is walk with God. If you know Proverbs is in the, yeah, before, yeah, oh, you guys, some of you smart, yeah. Proverbs, and this one we should all memorize, okay? Proverbs. Okay, Proverbs 3. Look, even me, I'm so used to my my iPad, I get a hard time finding stuff. Okay, Proverbs right there. See, I got it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. We got to hear God. We got to apply His Word. We got to walk with Him. Because if we're not walking with Him, that we might be walking away from Him. As you read and you understand, you obey, you trust God's promises, you let your faith grow. You have to let your faith, you have to trust Him. Sometimes He's going to ask you to do stuff that you don't quite understand. Like when He asked me to come start this church, I didn't kind of understand. And I kind of looked at Him like, me? Are you kidding? Me? Yes, you. No, me? Yes, you. No, me? Yeah, you, go. And it's like, and you know, it's kind of hard, right? Because, you know, you're leaving the comforts of the mother church and you're coming into this strange land. You don't know who's going to be here. And you just have to obey. And the thing is, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Are you ready to jump into God's arm and let Him take control of your life? Because it's spooky. But that first step, and when He shows up, and when you are faithful, and He starts guiding you and you start walking, oh, it's such a wonderful feeling. Such a there's no better place to be walking with God in His will. Amen. Number three, surrender to God's will. Romans again, okay? So now you can go back to Romans. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 12, one of my favorite places to be. Look, it's already underlined in my Bible. Cool. This is one of my first, my second Bible that I ever got. It's kind of beaten up, but not beaten up enough. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that is good, acceptable, and perfect, more complete. We gotta surrender ourselves to God's will, not my will, because my will is faulty. My will is selfish. My will is greedy. My will is what I want. How many of you, what you want? Do you want to do what you want? You want to eat where you want? You want to watch what you want? I want to fish where I want, right? But what is God's will? Last night I ate salad. I think that was God's will for me. I ate salad for dinner. I came here this morning. James, I am so hungry. And he looked at me like, well, that's your New Year's resolution. No, I don't make those because I break them. But I don't know. My wife was asking me, you can eat. I eat salad. I don't know what I was thinking. There was nobody to impress, right? The only time I eat salad is in front of you guys to make you think I'm good. That's when you can call me a fake, right? But I eat salad. It's like, so I know God's will for me is to be healthier. And I'm trying, right? So hard. But God's will. You know, if Jesus was willing to die for us on that cross, shouldn't we be willing to live for Him? When we can surrender to Him, I think that's when He really begins to direct our steps. And number four, obey what you already know to be God's will. Some of these things I've been telling you is already, we already know that's God's will. First Thessalonians, and that's in the back part of the New Testament by all the T's, the Timothy, the Titus, the Thessalonians. Okay, that's in the New Testament. First Thessalonians, this is written to the church at Thessalonica. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not passionate lust like the heathens who do not know God. So we know, okay, God wants us to be sexually pure, but we also know that God does not want us to kill, to steal, to lie, to bear false witness, you know, all those things. We know that from the Bible. You know, many people seem to know what God's plan is for their life, but they overlook that probably like 98% of His will is already set forth with accuracy in His Word. And God is very clear about many, many aspects of His will. Right? And we know that when we read that, when we understand that, we can apply that. If we cannot obey the things that God has already clearly shown us in His Word, I mean, why would He reveal more to us when we don't want to even do what is already written in the Bible? So we gotta, like the Ten Commandments, it's there, it's written, you know, do not worship any other God but Him, right? We cannot, you know, put our brand new car. Oh, this is my baby, right? My fishing pole. Oh, yeah, it's my baby. I love my fishing pole. Well, Alexei, you pray to your fishing pole when you're sick. What do you think going to happen? Nothing. Right? Obey what we already know to be God's will. Number five, seek godly input. You know, one of the key components to finding God's will is to seek input of godly people, advisors. And if you don't have anybody around you, godly people to mentor you, to help steer you, to help keep you accountable, then maybe you should. Like Frank said, we do devotions on Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, Blaine's in Orchidland. Thursday morning, 5 o'clock at Blaine's in the industrial area. And we have godly people around us who share the devotions. And there's one guy in our group that if you are late, he will text you, where are you? And he'll text you, and then you better answer, because if not, he's going to keep texting you. And he does that to all of us, no matter, even me, even if I'm late. And he does that, because if you don't tell him you're not coming, he will text you. But it's good, because it helps keep you accountable. Think of it this way. We got to understand that the people around you help kind of steer you and develop you. Because if you know, like they say, bad company corrupts good morals. So if I hang around the no good, rotten, pilau guys, then I'm probably going to end up no good, rotten, and pilau. One time I was working in a produce department, and I'd open a box of oranges. And when oranges get moldy, they get like green spots, and they're kind of mushy. But that one rotten orange, the one touching that rotten, moldy orange gets rotten. But the rest is good. So if you stick around moldy people, I'm not going to call you penicillin, okay? But you're going to turn into rotten, moldy people. Proverbs 11:14. Whereas Proverbs in the Old Testament, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. New Hope Easter Way, this fellowship is designed to help you with this. And I encourage you to be here every week. Every time that we open the doors on Sunday mornings, come on in, get involved, stay afterwards, hang around and eat and fellowship. Serve wherever you can serve. You know, and when you do this, there are greater chances that you will find godly people to hang around with, that help you discern God's word. And then the last one, number six, listen to God's spirit. Sometimes when we're praying, we need to just shut up and listen. Sounds odd, yeah? Because when we pray, we're taught to ask. But what if you just be quiet and listen? Listen to what God is trying to tell you. Instead of doing all the talking, take the time to listen and sit down, listen, take a pad of paper and a pen, and as he speaks, write it down. You know, I hate it when God speaks to me when I'm driving. You ever had that happen? You're driving and something really, really profound, prophetic comes to your mind. It's like, shoot, I'm driving. How am I going to remember this? And you keep repeating. And by the time you stop, what was it? Shoots, I forgot. It happens a lot to me. And it's like, oh. Somebody told me I got to use my phone and record it. But shoots, then I'm going to get arrested for using my device. Well, you know? And I doubt if God was talking to me would be an excuse for not getting a ticket. You know, bring a notepad when you sit down and write some of these following down. What is next for my marriage? You know, what is next for my marriage? My wife and I have been praying. And this is what we're going to do. Starting probably like the ending of this month, on a Monday, we're going to facilitate the art of marriage. So if anybody is interested, it's like $25 a couple, and it's limited. You let me know. I'll sign you up on this sheet. We're going to probably start the last Monday of this month and then continue on after that. But God told me, you know what, 2019, you better, do more. I can do more. And so I've been praying. And so I asked my wife, can you facilitate this with me? She said, yeah, maybe God will speak to you. Whoa. Whew. And that's usually the case. When God tells me to do these things, it's not for you, but it's for me. But if it's for me, I can bring you alongside and we can learn together. Amen? So if any of you is interested, come see me. Come sign your name on this paper. I'll leave it right here so everybody can watch you when you come and sign them. They're going to hold you accountable. What is next for my children? What is next for my career? What is next for my ministry? You say, what ministry? I have none. Well, get in one. Amen? What is next for my finances? By the way, if you haven't gotten your tithe receipt, it's in the box over there. And if it's not in there, then it's being mailed out to you. Because that means I wasn't sure if I was going to see you in church. Just kidding. Just kidding. What is next for my education? And that's a good one. Especially for me, because I got to keep reading and I got to keep learning. So I just started reading this book by Max Lucado about grace and understanding grace. So expect to hear a sermon on grace sometime soon. During your prayer time, meditate on such thing as this. And often when you meditate on things or questions that you may have for God, He's going to start flooding your heart with ideas, information, scriptures regarding some of these questions. And I tell you what, write as fast as you can, because sometimes God talks fast. And write and write and write. It's going to be a great experience to sense that His Spirit is guiding your thoughts and your words. And through experiences like this, He will show you with great clarity what His will is for your life. And prayer would be less talking and more listening. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you know God's voice? When He talks to you, do you know His voice? Do you spend enough time with Him? I remember back in 2007, my wife and I, they flew us to Spokane in January. We got up one morning, it was 0 degrees. Crazy. And it was called CPI class, Church Planting Intensive. It was very intense. And they blindfolded me, right? And they were making plenty of noise. Everybody in the room was yelling and screaming. They were putting chairs in my way. And they were telling my wife to guide me. And I had to hear her voice and follow her through all the obstacles, through all the voices, up some stairs, tap a wall, and then back down. And because I spent so much time with her, I know her voice, right? Versus all the other people yelling, come this way, come that way, turn left, turn right. But because I spent time with my wife, I knew her voice. So I knew which voice to listen to. If you spend enough time with God and He tells you which way to go, you will know which voice to follow and which voice not to follow. Because if you don't spend time with God, you might just listen to the wrong voice and go the wrong way. What a bad thing that might be. The next time you begin to ponder God's plan for your life, encourage you. Just think over these points that I brought up to you and use these principles to kind of focus in on His plan. And when you seek His will earnestly, I guarantee you, He will find it. Because why would God save you and not reveal His plan for you? Amen? We're going to take communion now. Are you guys ready? Yes. What a great time. Pastor Aaron leading us in communion. Oh, sneak attack. Hey, brother, you know what? You look really good in pink, man.
I was waiting for that.
He looked good in anything, yeah?
And we say thank you to Pastor Scott. You know, I am so glad. I was listening to him talk, and I'm so glad that he did listen to God and fulfill this purpose, that we all get to be here and be a part of what God is doing in his life and in all of ours as this church called New Hope East Hawaii. And one of the things that we get to do, we choose to do every month as our church, is we choose to take communion together. And basically, the ushers are going to start passing out the elements for communion right now. And they're going to give you a cup of juice along with a piece of bread. Go ahead and hold on to those things, and we'll take communion together. But just so that you know, I've heard churches say that when they do this sacrament, they'll say, this is the blood of Jesus, and everybody will drink, and then this is the body of Christ, and everybody will eat of that. I'm just going to let you know right now, okay? This is bread and juice. It is not the actual blood and body of Christ, okay? But it is a representation of what Jesus did for us many, many years ago. And that his body was broken for our sins. And his blood was laid out to atone for our sins. You know why? Because God loved us that much that he would lay down his whole life so that we could spend eternity with him. And that's what they represent. It's actually an inward, an outward expression of what's really going on the inside. And that's what we get to do this morning. So as the ushers continue to pass out, we're going to sing. And what I want you to do is just remember what God did for you 2019 years ago. And in that, remember all of the wonderful, wonderful blessings that he did in 2018 so that we can go move on in his glory in 2019. Said that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took some bread and he broke it and he passed it out among his disciples and he said, this is my body that was broken for you. Let's take a need of the bread. And in the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood that is shed for the atonement of your sins. Let's drink of the cup together. And why don't you stand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. For loving us like no other God in the universe. That you would lay down your life and allow yourself to be broken so that we get to spend eternity with you. That was your primary purpose for us, Lord. Let us not let that purpose go void. Always, Father, allow us to remember how good and loving and awesome you are. We thank you for 2018, Lord, and all the blessings you gave us. And we look forward to everything you're doing or you're going to do and we get to do with you in 2019. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.